Psalm 118, 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Friends, take it from me with some hard-won wisdom. It is right nigh impossible to rejoice and be glad in the day which the Lord has made, when all your thinking is busy just being an old, no-count sinner, just worthless, worthless, worthless,
worthless.
Matthew 19:19 says to love your neighbor as you love yourself, not loathe your neighbor as you loathe yourself.
Worthless.
Objective honesty is the truth according to God. Subjective honesty is the truth according to me. When our subjective truth is so negative, looming and large as it apparently is in many, it diminishes the objective truth, so much so that it can be difficult to grasp what God says about us. I figure we can either be mind changers or simply be the ones with changing minds. Who are you, anyway? And even more important, to whom do you belong? You know, like, who's your daddy? I was raised in the southeastern United States, the Bible Belt. After I met the Lord in 1973, for more years than I can count, I was constantly, constantly, constantly told who I was not, what I did not, all that I could not, and everything I would not.
Watch out.
I can't remember but a scant handful of times in the first 30 years of my walk with the Lord that I ever heard anyone tell me how the Lord sees me, other than to say,
He loves you.
Then quickly adding, not to get too proud about it, lest you prove Proverbs 16:18 true. You know, the part about pride going before a fall. Then adding,
And brother, you're pretty close, so you better watch out.
My world was filled with watch out, be careful, and just don't.
You better watch your step, buddy.
How long can we live in the subjective truth, the truth according to ourselves, while striving to rise above the constant pointing out that we are just poor old sinners, barely scraping into heaven with the smell of brimstone on
us? You better watch your step.
There is an incredible conflict in us which says, I'm just an old sinner man and can never rise above my wrongness of character. And the other, which is the perspective of God Himself, who says we are beautiful and lovable. Maybe. When God says we are made righteous by the blood of Jesus, for some it's just too good for most of us to bear. Because I feel badly about myself doesn't change the fact that Jesus, by His blood on Calvary's Hill, made those who believe on His name righteous. Just because it seems too good for me to bear doesn't make it not true. And what do we do with Romans 8:1? Therefore, now, there is not even one bit of condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit, that of the life in Christ Jesus, freed you once and for all from the law and of the sinful nature and of death. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, we all fall short of the glory of God. Great day, haven't we constantly, day and night, been pounded and reminded of just how no good we are. And then to have a friend, or two, or three, call you on the phone and they just feel the need to make sure, to tell you, remind you, how you're just so no good. Don't forget you're no good. We need to make sure you know you're no good.
Worthless.
What do we do, then, with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Is it enough? If we're going to be under the law, of which no man is justified, made free or whole, then all we've got left is condemnation. If Jesus satisfied all the law, I must ask the question then, whose side are you on? If we have tasted of the grace of God and gone back to doing the law, the endurance and surrender of Christ is made of no effect, and there is no other sacrifice to be made. We are free by the blood of Jesus, and no going back to Egypt is allowed, if you catch my drift. We are either in the law camp of condemnation or the grace camp of Jesus. And nobody said anything about greasy grace. We're talking about a balanced point of view here. So once again, we are either in the law camp of condemnation or the grace camp of Jesus.